This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstand Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Greetings, fellow Earthlings, and any others who may hear the sounds of my voice. I come in peace. I ask for nothing. I'm only searching for the party. After last week's Valentine's show, I received many emails asking questions about my personal life. Am I the sort of man over whom available women should battle? Am I as sexy in person as my voice makes me sound? Is it true that I can make all of your dreams come true? And to each question, I give the same answer. That depends on how much alcohol you might have had. Speaking of alcohol, is it just me or are people responding much differently than expected in various news events? Even if you're watching American Idol, you must be aware that the Winter Olympics are currently taking place in Italy. Granted, the Winter Olympics are not received with as much overall interest here in the U.S. as the Summer Olympics. Typically, our reaction to things is, if you can't win, then why bother? And while we can and have won such summer sports as running and jumping, then we often don't do as well at cross-country skiing and bobsledding. But still, participants in the Olympics are not people who have just exercised well. These are folks who spent years training to be the best in their specific sport. So why are they suddenly claiming to only be in Italy for the experience? Don't get me wrong, I find it enlightening that an American might actually understand there's more to participating than winning. But for more than a handful of athletes being interviewed to reply that they didn't care about the medal seems insincere, if not just a lie. Have we put such importance on winning that we must make it sound as though we weren't really trying? And then there's our concern, or lack of, about a United Arab Emirates business having major access in several of our nation's largest seaports. I don't wish to be stereotyping, but if our country is going to spend billions of dollars on homeland security and the fighting of terrorism, then should the Bush administration have allowed a country with probable operational and financial base for terrorist attacks against the U.S. to be responsible for some seaport security? Dubai Ports World would be doing business directly in New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, New Orleans, Miami, and even Philadelphia while hiring their own employees. I don't believe you should be told whom you can and cannot hire, so telling a foreign company they can only have American citizens as employees seems unfair and not even particularly smart. But if we are fighting the war on terrorism over there so we don't have to fight it over here, then why are we allowing suspicious suspects right inside our door? And why is our leadership showing such little concern about it? Apparently they're busy watching the Tom Cruise, Katie Holmes effect. .219 here on the wake-up call with an entertaining group, and I mean that in multiple facets today here in the studio and roaming around out in the lobby as well. A large group, the Offstage Theater members, also known as bar hoppers, in the down at WNRN today. Let's test the microphones. Stu's been busy hammering it out with them. All right, fire away, folks. Let's interview, let's test the microphones of the folks in the studio at the moment. We have Amy.
Hello.
Ooh, I see. I like that sound, too, don't you? We have Bob.
Hi.
And Sean.
Morning.
Morning. Thanks to the three of you for coming down. We have another half dozen or so people out in the lobby. Everyone will be rotating in and out today, so forgive us for the for the background sounds that you may hear in and out as people change chairs and microphones and headphones, etc. But it is going to be entertaining. I can't think of another word for that. Sean, it will be an entertaining hour because that's what y'all do.
We try.
You try. That's your
At least effort. We entertain ourselves. That's the most important thing.
That's well, for the hour today, you must also entertain me. So let's get that straight. Where did Jen go?
Because she ran.
She ran. She realized that her microphone was going to be on, and so she left the area. Offstage Theater and the Bar Hoppers. Who wants to take and talk a little bit about what Offstage Theater does? What are you, you know, what does the group do? How do you work? Because you're different from Live Arts Theater, who's been in the studio before.
Offstage, sorry, it started a, wow, a while back. Back in the late 80s, I believe.
I won't hold you to history.
And mainly it was an opportunity for local playwrights to start seeing their work produced using local talent. And one of the avenues that they, and their main thing was the fact that they didn't have an actual stage to perform on, a regular theater. So they would use people's houses, any open area, almost like guerrilla type theater.
Furniture stores.
Furniture stores, bars is where Bar Hoppers came along. And it just kind of kept stuck around. It's good times.
Now, there was a time when I used to be in the bar more frequently when you would, you know, just be out having a good time, and suddenly these people nearby would start a very loud conversation, and you would be like, what is going on over at that table? And then eventually you would, you know, it might take several minutes, but you would recognize that it's people were acting. Is that sort of what we're talking about?
I think that's more along the lines of guerrilla theater. I don't know if that was Bar Hoppers that you witnessed, but this Bar Hoppers is definitely a little more organized than that. There's an admission. I'm not sure how much it costs, but
what's the difference between guerrilla theater and offstage theater?
Guerrilla theater implies that it there's an actual
guerrilla.
Yeah.
No, there's not. Guerrilla theater is more spontaneous, where there's not the audience doesn't know what's going to happen. Basically, that's the big difference. Like I had some friends in college who did guerrilla theater in a bunch of retail stores, and they would like go to the Gap and start singing about international trade and things like that, and people didn't know what was going on. So,
And then sometimes they're not even told at the end of this, let's say, perhaps, performance, that it was a performance. So people can walk away just thinking, this was an interesting thing that happened to me today, and not even know that it was something planned by a theater group or a class, that kind of thing.
Bob mentioned that there's a, I guess one of the differences from offstage theater and guerrilla theater is that while you're not necessarily sure that guerrilla theater was just some loud part of that, something you witnessed, as opposed to a fee, a charge that you pay to actually watch it. So how does that work if you're in a furniture store or a bar or some other offstage place?
Right. Well, for offstage,
I mean, I'm there for dinner and a drink, and you're going to charge me more for that? What's up?
Well, actually, for offstage theater productions, there's advertising ahead of time. People know what they're walking into. So it's not that they just show up, they're sitting down at a restaurant, and all of a sudden somebody comes up and says, okay, if you want to stay here, you got to pay us $8 more to watch a show. So they know coming in that there's a show in that location. Last year, Offstage did some shows in a store on the downtown mall. It sold bedroom supplies, sheets, kind of really high-end sorts of things for your bedroom. And they were called the Bedroom Plays. But it was advertised as plays that are taking place in the store that occur in a bedroom.
Nifty.
Yes.
All right. So, but this year, you're actually going to be back in the restaurant / bar.
Yep. We'll be in Rapture. And we'll be in Rapture this Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and for the next two consecutive Sunday, Monday, and Tuesdays from 7:30 onward. And we will be having 8 different shows, between 6 and 15 minutes each, and we're really excited about it. We hope people are going to come out and check out the shows and see our funky actors and some new scripts that are out there.
All right. hang tight, listeners, because it is 11:11. Go play that lottery number here on the Wake Up Call. And we are talking with various members of the Charlottesville Offstage Theater, also known as the Bar Hoppers. And we are going to be doing little bits and pieces from each play, or of at least a number of the plays throughout the hour. But as we set a little background for you, Jen, do you tell me that you're going to be at Rapture? Now, Rapture, not to say good or bad things about them, they are an underwriter for WNRN, but they allow smoking in there. Are you
not,
you
know, on Monday nights?
Not on Monday nights.
Monday nights,
okay.
We have a smoke-free show, at least in the section of the restaurant that we're going to be in. So the front section of the restaurant might have something different going on, but we are in the section where the bar is, and that is smoke-free the next three Monday nights from 7:30 until whenever the show ends.
Okay. That was my question.
That's
for
it.
Listeners who may be going, oh, I'd really love to see that, or at the end of the hour, once they've heard all the cool bits and pieces, say, wow, that would be cool, but Rapture, yeah, I don't know, they smoke in there. I'm not into the smoking scene.
Absolutely, and I have several friends who are pregnant moms who want to come out and see the show, but they've said to me last year, they said, we just can't come see it because they're smoking. So this year, in particular, if they're pregnant, they can come on Monday nights. So pregnant moms, come out and see
pregnant
us.
Pregnant moms, Monday night.
The show's for you.
May not be the day of the week to try out your singles hit lines, but nonetheless... Otherwise, you're free to roam.
There's plenty of that in the plays.
All right.
Plenty of single hit lines.
So the first three folks that we do have in the studio with me, Amy, Bob, and Sean, are participants in, let's see, the first one we're going to do is Regatta Club Freud. Is that correct?
That's right.
That's correct.
Written by Charlottesville's...
Joel Jones.
Famous and ever-growing, even more nationwide famous, Joel Jones.
He's like 50 feet tall now.
It's true.
See,
I just saw
that's the kind
last
of entertainment
week.
That'll keep me going for the hour. Amy, you are the director?
Yes, sir.
And Sean and... Sean,
yeah,
plays, Sean plays Markson?
Yes, Markson.
And Bob plays Sloan?
Indeed.
That sounds like a female name.
It's not. It's my last name.
Oh. Well, sorry about that, Mark. All right. Let's see. Who wants to set it up?
Amy,
you're the director.
She's got a better, she's got a cleaner mouth than we do. Go ahead.
I try. This is a play. It takes place in the Regatta Club, and that is a cigar slash like boating club that these two gentlemen are in. Circa 1900, very high class setting we have here, and they're meeting in a bar. They went to college together, and now they're just meeting up as old chums, as it were. So that's where the play starts.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Is there bad language or anything here that we need to be concerned about, or that visitors may need to be concerned about because, you know...
Is that in general, or...?
Yeah,
well,
not in this play.
I would assume that... all right, so not in this play.
No.
So I would assume that you were, as a group... forethoughtful enough to realize that there are certain words you can't say over the radio, even
uh-oh,
between the church hour. But as folks who might be listening and say and trying to determine whether or not they want to come visit, is this something that they can bring their 8-year-olds to?
I would say probably not 8-year-olds. There is a gunshot that goes off. So for those people who are very sensitive to noise or don't like to be around guns, it's not a real gun, of course, but there is a noise from a gunshot that goes off. And also there is some sexual content.
Yeah, because there's another play that we're going
adult
to be doing
themes.
A piece from, what's it called? Tell Me About This Guy.
And actually, that one is pretty innocent. That's
oh,
a pretty innocent play. But we have another play
well,
called...
I'll skip that one then.
Yes. There's another one called Bartender Mixes Magic Light, and that one does have some, thank you, Bob, adult themes.
Got
yes.
It. Okay.
This one's pretty clean.
All right, so Regatta Club Freud, Sean and Bob Dorsey, Sean Chandler, is that correct?
That is
correct.
Right.
Going to be doing a piece from this. Fire away, guys.
Sloan, old man, I've been hoping to find you. Are you reading?
Evidently not.
Nothing like a quiet night reading at the club bar, I've always said. Catching up on the goings on around, the toings and froings of the world. Comme il faut and so forth. Yes, I know, I know. What's the point, Markson? Spit it out, you're thinking. Well, Sloan, you know how much we all look up to you here at the club.
Obviously. I'm a Sloan.
You see? That bedrock of confidence. That ringing certainty of fearless in conversation as in the final turn of the cup race.
Did you want something, Markson?
There it is again! But you're probably wondering what I want. Look, old sport, this is rather awkward, but I was curious if you had any opinion on this Freud fellow.
If he's the new barman, if he's giving you problems, talk to the social director and have him fired. Honestly, Markson, you must learn to stand up for yourself.
No, no, Freud's a physician. Apparently, he traces our adult characteristics to, well, certain childhood circumstances.
Well, attending the right preparatory academy is very important.
No, even earlier than that.
Well, I do recall my grandfather, Chase Worthington Sloan I, stating that he not only double-checked the references of any governess my grandmother intended to hire, but also had her followed by the Pinkertons when they weren't busy breaking strikes.
No, no, Sloan, that's not it at all.
Not what at all?
You know, it. See, Freud claims that man, by nature, wishes to, well, kill one's father.
For the inheritance.
No, for the sake of having intimate relations with one's mother.
I think I misheard you.
Freud implies, or rather I believe he comes right out and states, that we have an urge to kill our fathers and have intimate relations with our mothers.
I don't recall my physician mentioning any such thing to me.
Apparently, it's a new discovery.
Damned odd.
Now, that's what I thought. Damned odd. But I'm quite sure that's the gist of it, and they say the theory is quite popular on the continent, so I thought I'd sort of canvass your opinion.
Well, Europeans can be a rather passionate bunch, the men perhaps possessing overly ripe sentiments towards their mothers, but one must draw the line somewhere. And Freud's recommendations strike me as radically unsound. My guess is he's an anarchist, and this father-killing business merely a fad. I'd wait it out. If you hear it mentioned, smile and nod with knowing detachment, and change the subject to the weather.
See, Sloan? Cut to the chase. Down to brass tacks, as the poets say. If only I could be like that. Remember how at Yale you were in the secret, ruthless plutocrat society?
You were in that other one, just as prestigious. What was its name again?
It doesn't matter. Maybe nothing matters. Lately, Sloan, I've been feeling rather out of it.
Out of what? Money?
No! Out of it! Maybe nothing. You see, I've been tormented by the sense of being disconnected.
You're a member of the Regatta Club, Markson. One can't be more connected than that.
No, I mean, rather, I'd rather hope that Freud, well, he claims that everyone has the urge to, as I said before, and it's all the rage in Europe.
Well, Markson, there's Europe, and there's Europe. If Freud is accepted by the better families in Europe, I suppose he's worthy of consideration.
That's what I thought.
But if you're going to kill your father and have intimate relations with your mother, please don't talk about it. It's distasteful.
The problem is, Sloan, while I've always been terribly fond of my mother, fine old gal and all that, I've come to the conclusion that my love for my mother is strictly platonic. I've searched the bottom of my soul, but cannot find any intimate interest in my mother whatsoever. And, well, you and I have always been friends, best of chums, if it were. Lend one another cufflinks in a time of need, that sort of thing. That's why I was hoping that you could sort of stand in for me.
Stand in for you?
I was hoping you might be willing to have intimate relations with my mother.
Well, so sorry, Markson, but I've been meaning to tell you. I've been having intimate relations with your mother for quite some time. I suppose I could also kill your father, but I can't do it this month, well, with the regatta approaching. Well, old sport, it's good we got this out in the open. Good luck to you.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Tasteful.
Bits and pieces from Regatta Club Freud, played by Joel Jones. A little reading there by Sean Chandler and Bob Dorsey. And directed by Amy Poe. Amy, did they do the job that you expected them to do? Any directional points?
It's been fabulous.
It was fabulous.
It's going to be even better tonight, so you should come see it.
All right. Today's the first day, right, of the season?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. Amy, quick question before we do the weather and, I guess, swap out some folks for the next piece. What does it take to be the director?
Patience. No, it takes a flexible schedule a lot of times and flexibility in the performance arena. Because a lot of times, like, there's some problems with having a show in a place like a bar. It's a lot different than directing for a regular theater. So you have to make a lot of exceptions and adapt a lot of things that you wouldn't normally do as a director in a real theater just because of the space. Yeah. But it's pretty fun. It's a really great time. It's the most fun I've ever had directing anything. So.
All right. That's what I wanted to hear. All right, folks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Sue.
All Right. Mark, the photography forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Sunny today, highs 30 to 35. Clear tonight, lows 20 to 25. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs 40 to 45. Partly cloudy across the listening area. In the valley, it's 19, 26 in Lynchburg, and 22 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support for WNRN today also coming from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, now featuring state-of-the-art travel gear from Eagle Creek. And if your travel gear is taking you somewhere warm, Blue Ridge has sandals from Teva and Reef shorts from North Face and warm weather pants and shirts from the North Face and Ex Officio. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, and at BRMS.com. Plus, we want to make sure to take a moment and thank listeners like Ruth Stone, Elizabeth Dunko, and Louisa Wimberger for their generous support during the Fall Fund Drive. It's because of people like them, as well as program underwriters like Pet Forum and Satellite Ballroom, that you have the wake-up call every Sunday from 11 to 12. So stay tuned, tell a friend, and get ready to support us during the next Fund Drive beginning in March. All right, we've swapped out a few guests. Jen is still here. Jen, what is your role with this group? I mean, sometimes I feel like, although, you know, seeing the behavior of a couple from the last time, are you like kindergarten teacher?
You think we're just kind of keeping it all together? Yes, I'm kind of like the laces on the football. I'm producer. And I have a co-producer, Karen Pitts, so we basically we do all the auditions, we get the press going, reach out to people like you who are kind enough to have us here, and I'm also in one of the shows.
Yeah, okay.
So, but mostly production, and we've had a great group this year, and they're excited for tonight's first night.
Now, do you have so we have a season that's going from February into early March.
Yep.
Is there... You know, do you have a summer season, a fall season, et cetera?
We're considering a few different things right now. And if folks do have some suggestions for us for our next round of plays, they can get in touch. We're thinking about maybe doing plays based around a swimming pool. So we would solicit plays from local playwrights or playwrights all over the country who may have something to do with a swimming pool or something around a club, a fancy club, that sort of thing. We're thinking about it right now, so we're open. So if anyone has some ideas, they can give me a call. Can I throw out that number?
Fire away.
Okay, 825-2858. That's 825-2858. If you have some ideas for some themes for our next round of Bar Hoppers, offstage plays, because offstage is the theater, Bar Hoppers is this particular series.
Gotcha. And people can be listening. You said from around, don't just have to be local plays, because you can listen to this program on SeavillePodcast.com. You could be listening to it on WNRN.RLC.net. So people outside of the more local phone area code could ring you up or email me. Feel free to email me, and I'll pass it on to Jen. All right. Let's push all the right buttons and get everybody involved. All right. Signs over your head, folks. We have Amy, we have Betty, and we have Cheech. And we're going to be doing part of... So, Tell Me About This Guy, play by... Oh, I will
Dolores
never get...
Whiskeyman.
Thank you so much.
An appropriate name.
I'm never very good at this. I always make multiple pronunciation errors for names. And when it's written in large felt marker, that makes it even more difficult for me. All right, who's going to set... What is everyone's role in this?
Well, I'm the director, and I'll tell you a little bit about the play. It's a really fabulous piece published, and it was written actually for two 20-something women. And in sort of keeping with the, multicultural and interesting population of Charlottesville, I was curious to see what the piece would be like casting a more mature woman and a younger man. So I did that with the fabulous Betty Hale, and Cheech Pan. And Betty, you play?
I play Marla. Marla is the lady with the boyfriend, or the guy. And I'm sharing my experiences with him with my friend, Ange.
Yeah, and I am play Ange, or Angie as it says in the script. And I'm just a friend of Marla's, and we're meeting that night to have a drink at the bar. And she has a new friend, a man friend, and she's going to tell me a little bit about him.
It's gossiping. They're catching up on each other's love life. And I was curious, if you go to bars and you see people on the downtown mall, I'm always struck by the interesting couples. And this was sort of my take on what are those people talking about in the bar? Who could they be and what are they talking about?
I like that. I'm all about the, you know, leaning over to the table next to you and seeing what you can catch. All right. Are we ready?
We're ready.
Okay.
Is Michael, you know?
Pretty much.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So, did you,
No.
Oh. But if he's so, you know...
Well, he's shy.
Oh. So, where did you...
Go to Gina's party.
Oh, she's the one who...
No, Bob.
Bob was at Gina's? But I thought they
were... Well, they did. But now they're...
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, wish I was.
Were they,
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Feeling no pain.
Oh, God. Wow.
Yeah.
Those two. They're like...
Yeah. All over the kitchen, too.
So, what did you...
Oh, we left.
Oh, and where?
Michael's place.
And what?
Watched a movie.
Movie?
Uh-huh.
What kind of movie?
Training film. He's into time management.
Uh-huh.
He's,
shy, right. So, how does Bob...
Oh, from school.
Oh, so he and Bob are both...
No, he's an accountant.
Oh.
What? Oh.
Just O.
Well, O as in O or O as in O?
Neither, just O.
Accountants can be very exciting.
How exciting?
Well.
But you haven't.
Well, not yet.
Not that exciting.
Well, it's not as if you know.
So what gives?
Nothing.
How long have you?
6 weeks.
And still...
Well, he travels.
And that was it. A little piece of the gossip.
I must say that I'm sure that every piece is done quite well. But the subtle little the tones of all that commentary... I almost had to hang up my headphones before I wet my pants. Very nicely done.
Thank you.
Now, Amy, tell me again about that piece. Was written locally or not? Did I miss
no,
that?
No, it was written by, I think, Dolores is in Texas. Is that correct? She's a Texas playwright?
Yeah, she could. We're not exactly, I don't know exactly where she's from because we found the play in a published piece of literature of 10-minute plays. And then what we had to do as producers is contact the publisher, which is in New York, and get the rights to use it. So it's very different than working with new playwrights who've never had anything published before. So not exactly sure, but this play is about 5 years old.
All right, that was wonderful. question for each of the folks in the play, Cheech and Betty. Now... Were you relying on anything in particular when you did that? Because my vision is, literally, is this the playwright leaning in and listening to two people? Because I had a friend when I was back in grad school, and he was taking a playwriting course at the English department or the drama department, I don't remember. But we worked at a restaurant together, and he would literally take his books and sit at a table next to a couple and sort of pretend that he was working while he was actually, like, writing down what they were saying. And... He'd come back with sometimes it was really boring, but sometimes it was incredibly entertaining. And that was the vision that I had, was I was literally sitting there. To me, this would be a true bar hoppers play, is you're just speaking so loudly that everyone can hear. Were you, you know, did you have a vision of anything when you were doing that?
Well, they're so caught up in, at least Marla is, she's so caught up in her own fantasy that's in her mind that she has no idea what her surroundings are. So I don't think she's paying any attention at all to her volume or the content of her conversation. She's just really impressed by this fellow and is sharing that intimacy with her friend.
Yeah, it sometimes feels like there are actually three or four characters when we're actually doing this piece, because the two not present male characters, Bob and Michael, do have a sort of presence in the actual play based on, you know, our relationships with them and what we say about them. So it kind of feels like they're actually there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what comes out of the dynamic.
I love that piece. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, 11:30 here on the Wake Up Call. We'll swap out and get our next guest in for the next little piece that we're going to do. We do want to thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support today. Seville Reader's Choice for burgers and rated by Zagat Restaurant Survey for 4 years running. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. Five Guys Burgers and Fries behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. And coming soon to Hollymead Town Center and the Downtown Mall, Charlottesville, 975 Guys. We are here with a variety of cast members, directors, producers, etc. from Offstage Theater here in Charlottesville. Their new season starts tonight and runs
through February 5th, 6th, 7th.
So March 5th, 6th.
March. Thank you very much. I've got a thousand things running through my head.
I know all the Sundays. I have to just do the math for everything else after that.
Yeah. And we'll be at Rapture, 7:30. Tickets are $8. Come early, especially the last week, because as momentum builds, more and more people hear about the show. You could get there at 7 o'clock and it'd be sold out. So come early. We want to see you there. And come prepared for anything.
So Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays.
The next three weekends.
And Mondays are
smoke-free. Yes.
For those of you who are worried about your smoke, who are pregnant women. That was a big push earlier in the hour. If the pregnant women need to show up.
My demographic. I've shared my age. Yeah, so when we're really excited about it, and we're fortunate to be here today with some of our plays, some of our actors, and some of our directors to talk about the shows.
All right. Is this the proper next mark? We're going to do Answer Man?
The Answer Man, yes.
The Answer Man. And from what I have gathered from the promo that I've seen, et cetera, Answer Man I don't want to pick one thing, but that seems to be the highlight.
I think it's the local favorite because it's been done here before. It's been done in Scottsville. I think in the next few weeks, it could even be right now, it's going to be done in Stanton. And a few weeks ago, it was also done in New York. So it's probably the most well-known aside from the published piece that we just heard. So tell me about this guy.
All right. So it's not necessarily the highlight piece. It's just the one that most people might recognize and want to go see.
It's our hook.
No,
yes,
it's the highlight piece.
It is the highlight piece. Yes, the folks in the studio at the moment are noting that it is indeed the highlight piece. I have Jill. And I have Mark. I'm not going to even attempt these last names.
Mark V.
Multi-syllable. Answer Man, the director's not here, so who wants to jump in and tell us a little bit about the play?
I can.
All right, Mark.
It's written by Joel Jones. Joel is a, shall I say, famous local author of playwrights.
There
you go. Of plays. And he's done quite a bit of work over the past 15 to 20 years here and in New York City. And Answer Man is probably, if not his best, probably the best short play I've ever read. It's about a girl who's just had a breakup with her boyfriend, comes into a bar, and ends up meeting a guy who has the answers to everything. He knows everything. And, of course, the melee ensues from there. There it is.
And I'm assuming that since there's a male and a female in here, that's how the roles are being played out. You're going to be the answer man.
Yes.
And Jill is going to be the woman seeking all the answers to her problems.
That's Denise.
Right.
Jill, you should have been here last week when we did the Valentine's Day show.
Sorry, I missed that.
I had everything. All right. And there's also some music in this one.
There is. It's almost like a mini musical.
Do you take your guitar to the bar?
I personally have been playing the piano since I was age 4, and since we can't haul one of those in there, I've had to learn this for the past 2-3 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
So, wow, that's true acting.
Is it?
It's like doing your own stunts.
There you go. That's what it's like, because this definitely is a stunt for me. I'll tell you that much.
All right. So we are ready once again. We do have Charlottesville's Offstage Theater here in the studio of the Wake Up Call this morning. Variety of actors, actresses, directors, producers, as we do bits and pieces from the upcoming season, which starts tonight. This part from Joel Jones, the Answer Man.
Hi, what can I get you?
I don't know. Budweiser, I guess.
It's the biggest selling beer in the world. Did you know that?
Yeah, I guess I did.
It's an interesting philosophical point. Can a person really know something if they aren't sure that they know it? Doesn't not being sure mean the person doesn't really know it? Or is there a state of knowing beyond recall? Or is this a semantic argument over an amphiboly in the word canoe? It's a real puzzler, huh?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I know the answer to it. Would you like to know the answer to it?
Not really.
No. Well, do you have any other questions? Science, math, religion, anything?
I would like my beer.
Sure. One Budweiser. Here you are.
Thanks.
Would you like to know the exact ingredients in a Budweiser?
Not really.
Do you want to know how glass bottles are manufactured?
Not really.
Do you want to know how they print beer labels?
My life sucks.
And you want to know whether this is an objective reality or merely a subjective experiencing of reality? Well, I can tell you.
David's such a jerk. I can't believe I put up with him.
And you want to know the psychological explanation for the behaviors you experience as jerkiness.
I can't believe he just dumped me like that.
You have relationship questions.
I always end up with undependable men.
And you want to know why?
No. Not really.
Oh, come on, ask me something. There's got to be something that you want to know about. The truth about saturated fat. The secret of the Lindbergh kidnapping. The origin of human suffering. The chemical composition of retin.
I think I'm going to go sit at a table.
Please ask me something. Just ask me about metaphysics, philosophy, history, anthropology, biochemistry, algebra. I know. How about sex? Everyone has questions about sex.
Maybe I should go.
No, I can tell you how you compare sexually with other men and women. Wouldn't that be great?
If you touch me, I will scream.
No, that wasn't an overture. I'm naming subjects for you to ask me about.
I think I would like the check.
Oh, come on, just ask me about fashion, sports, constitutional law. What have you got to lose?
I don't want to ask you anything. Now, how much do I owe?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Wait. How much do I owe? Don't think I'm just going to stand here, freak. I don't have to put up with this. I should just go. I should walk out. That's what I should do. That would show them to harass customers. I'll walk out. Don't think I won't. Oh, God, who am I kidding? I'm too much of a wimp for anything like that.
Well, Denise, I am glad that you asked. Answer number one, you owe $2.25. I'm the answer man and I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man.
What are you doing?
Answer number two, Denise, I am answering your questions. I'm the answer man and I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man.
How did you know my name?
Answer number three, Denise, because I'm the answer man and I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man. Now, Denise, you have a limited number of questions, so you might want to ask about important personal issues.
Why do you keep singing that song?
Well, if you consider that to be an important personal issue, answer number four, because I'm the answer man and I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man. I give you a hint, Denise. Go for deeper questions.
Well, I'm going to count to 10 and then I'm leaving. And if you refuse to give me change, then I'm just not going to pay.
No. Denise, don't go. You have a lot of questions left. Isn't there anything that you want to know about? I mean, the meaning of life, the truth about reincarnation, why all Chinese restaurants have those same little boxes. Come on, Denise, I know all things. Think of the opportunity you have here.
If you know all things, then when is my birthday?
Testing me. That is clever. Answer number five, August 22nd, 1977. I'm the answer man and I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man.
You probably just looked at my driver's license somehow. All right, what number am I thinking of?
You are thinking of 2178. Although you've been considering telling me you're thinking of 11 just to see what I do. I'm the answer man and I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man.
That's incredible. How did you know that?
Denise, as I have already said, I'm the answer man and I like to sing. I smile because I know everything. Whatever you don't understand, ask the answer man.
Now, without giving away too much of the of this particular play, how long does the singing go on?
A very long time.
And there's no extra cover charge for that?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to pay any ASCAP fees for that song, do you?
Don't know. Donations to the Mark Valahovic Singing Fund.
Gotcha.
Not to forget Joel Jones's.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. Not to forget Joel Jones's Singing Fund as well. And we do send around a little collection pot.
Do you?
No.
I thought it was that was your church thing.
No, that'd be great. No, we should. Maybe we will.
All right. Anything that people should know about that play, besides the fact that it's incredibly funny, before we take our next break and move on to the next play?
I think they just need to know that they have to come see it. That's probably the most important thing about it.
It'll change your life.
Now, for some reason, I don't think that that was really a stretch for Mark, other than learning the learning the guitar piece. Jill, you just don't look like the kind of woman who's been dumped a lot. So, question about where you found your inner actress bit for that.
It's happened. It's happened. Oh, yeah.
Those guys suck.
Well, believe it or not, that is a stretch for me because I don't have all the answers. You can ask my wife right here.
Oh, I had no clue. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed that. 11:42 here on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, The Hook looks at the sentencing of a local man who put on a vampire mask while attempting to kill his wife. There's a warning on the extra effort being put into reducing the alcoholic fun at Foxfield. And is a blind date better if it's boring rather than memorable in any way? The Hook, reminding you that lifesavers are just a misnamed candy. And today's programming on WNRN also being brought to you with the support of Blue Ridge Graphics at the corner of Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746. And not that you would, but don't go anywhere, because at noon, George Bell will be here for Les Timms Perdue. It's the best of 80s and 90s alternative. No Chaka Khan, Led Zeppelin, or Styx, for some reason. But he will play Nirvana, Morrissey, and Dharma Bombs. And requests are always welcome. That's Les Timms Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only on WNRN or WNRN.RLC.net. All right. Let's push everybody back into place by turning their microphones on. By the way, if you want to call in and ask a question here, you can feel free. I haven't really tossed out the phone number because we had plenty to do. But, you know, the last 10 minutes or so of the program, you're welcome to call up and ask any questions you might have of folks from the group, 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCKS. Stu is busy today, checking microphones and adjusting headphones and all that kinds of stuff. But we'll make sure to take your call if you want to dial in. So, let me make sure I got what we're doing. Lies, lies, lies. Is that what's up?
That's it.
We have Amy is still in here. Oh, Jill. Damn it. I knew I was going to make that mistake. And I was thinking, I don't even need the little signs because I've got everybody straight. We have Jill. We have Bob. We have Jen.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, that is a very sharp little task. And I'm going to ask Stu to do that all the time, as we're going to tape little name tags to the top of everybody's forehead for all future shows.
Why tape? Just write them on their foreheads.
And with proper pronunciation, phonetically spelled out. All right, lies, lies, lies. Jill, you are directing this, so
that's right.
Tell us all about it.
So the play is about a guy who tries to pick up a woman at a bar. And
seems to be a real theme to a lot of these plays.
It is a common theme in bar hoppers.
All right.
This time, though, they decide that since you end up just lying to someone when you pick them up at a bar, they might as well just go at it and lie completely. So everything they tell each other is a lie.
And each character is...
It's just man and woman. Universal.
So, okay. So there's not any particular background or anything we need to know. It's just stereotypical man beats stereotypical woman in the stereotypical bar.
Pretty much.
All right.
We're archetypes.
And I see you're not playing this with your husband for some reason. Is there a reason for that?
We thought we'd mix it up a little bit. We already, you know, met. We told each other our lies, and now we've moved on to the truth. So I thought we'd start with someone new.
I'm ready when you are.
I'm far from new. I'm old.
You're new to me.
Go.
My name's Sal. Sal Pimento.
Pimento?
I'm from a prominent Sicilian family.
And what do you do for a living?
I used to be in the family business, but the authorities did not approve of this business.
You're a gangster.
That's not a term I would use. Anyway, the FBI made me a generous offer of a new face, a new residence, and a new job, in return for a little testimony on my part. I'm a green grocer now. I specialize in imported tomatoes. It's an honest living.
You probably shouldn't be telling me this.
You're right. You have a very suspicious face.
Well, I question everything. I'm a writer. A novelist. Cynthia. Cynthia Woods.
And you write...
Literary romances. Chance meetings of fascinating people whose lives suddenly become intertwined.
Like novelists and gangsters. Maybe we're a perfect match.
Oh, I'm sure we are.
Let me tell you about myself. I'm married, two kids. Love them dearly. I saw you and I thought to myself, what an ugly old hag. Maybe there's some way they'll let me sit outside on the sidewalk.
Well, that's real nice of you, and I thought you were thoroughly charming from the start.
Of course you did. You were thinking of me as a character in your novel. Tall, dark, handsome, ready to whisk you off to Paris at the slightest suggestion.
Oh, yes. You just exuded a certain subtle power and charisma.
That comes from knowing that I could have anyone in the room rubbed out with a single phone call.
What exactly do you want from me, Mr. Pimento?
I hope that you suddenly run from this table and leave me in peace. I hope that I fall for you like a body off a pier, and that you treat me with the same cold-hearted manipulation that I get from most women. The only thing that would be better if you were a cop busting me for contraband tomatoes and you took me to the station and beat me all night with a rubber hose.
Well, all of those options sound pretty appealing to me, Mr. Pimento. May I call you Sal?
Of course not. May I call you Woody?
I would love it. So how long do you usually wait to call a woman after a first date?
Call her what? I'm usually there in bed next to her, and I just call out, hey, I like mine over easy.
Well, we're a perfect match then, because there's nothing I like better than to serve a man hand and foot, watch him go off to work in the morning, and make sure he's got a nice, comfy home to come back to. It's my life's ambition. I'd gladly subvert all my personal and creative energies if I could just find the right man.
Oh, I hope the people listening got the little subtle tug there on each side of that, because that was not that each of them aren't worthy. They each have their own little specialty, but I especially liked that one, full of lies from each gender. Joe, any comments as the director on that?
There's a few different subtle lies told, the sort of more exaggerations and then more the sort of opposite ones that start to come after. So it was very fun to sort of pick them apart and deal with the stereotypes associated with each of them.
And how did you get to be director?
Luck.
Luck? Is there something where you like throw names in the hat and draw stuff out?
Well, at the beginning of each particular season, we collect a group of names of people who may be interested. We contact folks who may be interested in directing and then have them come to a reading of all the different plays. And we ask the different people who are there what they may be interested in directing and match people up according to what they're interested in. But we're always looking for more directors. So, you know, people should be on the lookout for our call for directors as well as our call for writers.
So you match up...
Match up the plays with directors.
You match up the play with the potential director, so...
We don't do it by, you know, personal experience.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, Jill has already mentioned that, you know, I questioned whether or not she'd actually been dumped before, and she said, well, once or twice, and so now I'm curious as to whether or not she's actually,
I'm sure I've been lied to at a bar. I feel very confident about that.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
All right.
I would agree with you, Jill. I have a feeling a lot of us have been. Men and women alike,
yes.
You know.
All right, feel free to dial up if you have any questions. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. If there's anybody left out there who wants to come back in, because is that everything that we're doing?
That's it. That's everything. We just want to get the word out that folks should come out tonight for our first night of Bar Hoppers. The first night is always pretty fun because you get to watch through all the bumps and rocks in the road, and we really appreciate the audience. Not to say it won't be a great play. I mean, the series
awesome.
Will be awesome no matter what, but we can be particularly funny, and it's supposed to be. So tonight, 7:30 at Rapture. Try to get there a little early to get your tickets. They're $8. Tomorrow night is smoke-free, and then Tuesday night, again, 7:30 at Rapture to see Bar Hoppers.
All right, I see a couple of the folks still out there. That's Sean and Mark. You guys are all welcome to come back in as we sort of finish up the program with just general questions for everybody about offstage theater and the Bar Hoppers scene. I guess one of the questions is, we talked about briefly about auditions and participating. And you mentioned, Jen, I think you mentioned several times about taking new plays. So if we have listeners out there who, you know, this is what they feel like something they're interested in, but you're a new playwright. How do you get involved? How do you overcome that initial shyness about sticking your play out for obviously such talented people to play around with?
Folks should definitely give me a call, 825-2858. That's 434-825-2858. And the beauty about Offstage is that if folks submit plays to us, we'll give feedback. We get the plays, we give feedback, we work with writers on altering their scripts, making them better. There are a host of eyes that are on these scripts, and we can really, it's really educational. It's for performance sake, but it's also for educating the writers, directors, and actors. And as we go through the entire process, we really do work with the actors, directors. We go around, we see the shows, and we give a lot of feedback. So we want to bring more and more people in as much as possible. I think we're on the upturn for Offstage. It's kind of a renaissance for us, and we're looking to continue to reinvigorate Offstage theater.
Not to to do any stereotyping again, which obviously the plays do some fun with, but you have a variety of age groups we've had in here. So youngest to oldest, without necessarily mentioning names in that?
I think we've got 19 to 55.
So there's...
Anybody
can play along.
Absolutely. When we put out the call for auditions, especially, we say all ages, usually not kids. Every once in a while, there's something for kids. But we want everyone in the community to come out. Every demographic's out there.
As long as they look 21.
As long as they look 21.
Otherwise, they can't get in
the
bar.
They can get in the bar.
Right, they have to be able to get in the bar. Yep. Does having it called Offstage Theater, having it be put on in a bar or by the pool or wherever, does that bring about lowered expectations, do you think, from whoever's attending and whether or not they should spend their $8?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think the beauty of it actually is, and I've had so many people, I've been involved with Offstage for several years now, and it actually gets people to go to theater. It makes it more accessible to them. And once they actually see theater in a bar or by the pool or in a storefront, they realize that theater is not that bad, and yeah, they're willing to get involved in
it. So it takes away the formality of it?
Yeah,
yeah, rather than going to visit the theater itself, you bring the shows to the venue rather than bring the people over to an actual theater.
And because we are talking about the play that you had to get the rights for, a couple Joel Jones plays, who's now in New York City. So it's not like we're talking about the work being on a being less than anything else that you might see at Live Arts or at Paramount or anywhere else. Mm-hmm. These are good, true plays that you're putting on. And obviously, from anyone who's listening today, should be able to determine that the skill of the actors and the directors is really there. But it did make me wonder if I go into Rapture to have dinner and I happen to see the sign on the front door that says, Offstage Theater in the back at 7:30. I'm like, wow, play in the back, how good is that going to be for $8?
I've been involved with them for the past 6 years, and we usually go through a screening process with the scripts. We typically get 40 to 50 scripts submitted, and whittle them down. There's one play in the series that I'm directing called Killeen, in which before we even got in rehearsals, I was going back and forth with the writer who actually lives in Seattle, Washington, writes for the Seattle Sun-Times. And he and I were going back and forth for about 3 weeks, editing the script down and polishing it up as best we could. Solid show, as most of them are.
Good.
Yeah.
How do you compete with some of the more formal venues like Live Arts, like Four County Players, or et cetera?
We got a better alcohol selection.
It's true.
We really are a separate niche. You know, there. I don't think there's a lot of competition. In fact, there's a lot of collaboration. The artistic director over at Live Arts is really supportive of Offstage, sends out notices to people about our shows. We really do try to collaborate as part of a, you know, performance and arts community instead of competing. And there really isn't anyone else who's doing this. So this is Bar Hoppers and Offstage has got a real specialized little niche that there's no one else filling here in town.
All right, 11:56 here on the Wake Up Call. Our last few minutes with Charlottesville's Offstage Theater, the producers, directors, actors, and actresses of a program whose season begins tonight at Rapture and runs through March 7th, Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays. This is 91.9 WNRN Charlottesville and 89.9 WNRS FM Sweetbriar, Amherst, Lynchburg. And we want to make sure to thank 45fix.com if you have a project, but that's not the time. There's a simple way to find a contractor. From kitchen and bathroom remodeling, house painting to decks and siding, that's 45fix.com. Immediate, no obligation. Estimates available anytime. That's the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. All right, you know, you do have sort of a, as we mentioned, you're in an untraditional space. As Sean mentioned, you have the untraditional audience. Do you have people heckle? Do you have non-participatory people who aren't necessarily involved in offstage theater?
Occasionally, yeah.
Like trying to become involved. Hey!
A couple years ago, there was someone drunk who had to get ejected from the bar during the show. So that was always entertaining. It's a nice test as an actor when you have all these other things going on. Like sometimes you have like waitresses have to walk up to the bar to get drinks while you're doing your show. So it makes it a more realistic bar setting that way.
Yeah, and sometimes we also ask for participation from the audience. We did a show last year that Jill was in called Madeline Gets Married, and we were asking for the audience to clap and to applaud. It was, you know, very engaging for everybody. So we do want a certain amount of it, but we'll let the audience know when we want it and when we don't.
Jill has a lot of these relationship kind of things happening to her.
I just noticed that theme.
She has a very exciting life. I don't know. I'm definitely writing you up for the next Valentine's Day show, even if it's just all about plays and stuff.
No, I'm very worried. Excellent.
Well, we hope, Rick, that you're going to join us, that we'll see you one night at Rapture for the show.
I've been known to go out and be found in a bar.
All right, good.
It's really not a problem. It's just a matter of being at the right place wherever my designated driver can be found. Because that always becomes a part of it. All right, we're going to turn it over to George Bell and Les Timms-Perdue. Good luck to everyone.
Thanks for having us on the show.
What's the proper term? Go break a leg.
Break a leg.
You got it.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Catherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.